on Nashville Sports Radio. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. You know, we talk Titans all the time, but, you know, you got to look at the enemy side, if you will, right? So we wanted to bring it down. Ray already has had this man on before, loved him, so we wanted to make sure we could get him on as well. Welcome in Mike Petralia. He is with Jungle Roar Pod. He's a host of the Bengals Jungle Roar Podcast and a part of the PFAW writers here. First off, Mike, thanks so much for coming on. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Trags. And if you're okay with it, I'm just going to call you Trags.
Please do. And also, I write for CLNS Media. That is my outlet where you can read all of my prolific musings about Bengals Titans this weekend.
Well, my guy's just everywhere. You're just everywhere for it, then, huh? You get audio, you get writings. We love it. So,
yep.
Mike, coming into this game, there's a lot of – first off, you've obviously seen Joe Burrow in person. I feel like I've only ever seen him through the TV. It seems like this guy oozes a different level of confidence even early on in his NFL career.
I would agree with that 1,000%. I had the pleasure of covering Tom Brady for a quarter of a century, and I'm telling you that he does not play like Tom Brady. He has a different personality than Tom Brady, but the thing that Joe Burrow does that I notice is there's no situation that's too big for him. And in a situation like tomorrow, his first career road playoff game, I think that's going to come in very, very handy. And the fact that he has been through so many big games in his career at LSU and throughout this season, answering challenge after challenge on the road, winning 5 of his 7 road games that he started in this year, I think is a testament to how mature the guy is at, you know, under the age of 25. I mean, it's just pretty remarkable to me how the guy has grown and how he has accepted the challenge of leading a team in just his second NFL season.
Now, looking at what this Bengals team has become, because you go from essentially one of the worst teams, and quickly after the leave of Andy Dalton and how that ended with Cincinnati was Zach Taylor, and then getting Joe Burrow and now Ja'Marr Chase stepping up. How quickly have you seen this team just make the turnaround from what they were to what they are now?
Night and day. And a lot of it does have to do with surrounding Joe Burrow with playmakers. It's one thing to have a quarterback who feels very confident when he steps up to the line of scrimmage or stands in the shotgun and can read the defenses pre-snap and know where he wants the ball to go against a particular defense. It's a totally different thing altogether when you have weapons who can make plays play after play after play on 50-50 balls down the field. And that's what he has in Ja'Marr Chase. And when you've got a guy like Ja'Marr Chase making plays downfield, that opens up things for T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd over the middle, and that's where they've been able to extend drives this year on third down. Both T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd have been huge on third down. The thing that I'm curious about tomorrow is to see whether or not they can get Joe Mixon going, because I know that they really want to see Joe Mixon do what he did, for instance, the second half of the Las Vegas Raiders game in Vegas, where he took over. There are other times this year where Mixon was able to take over games in Detroit, for instance. He was able to take over coming down the stretch. Both of those, Detroit and Vegas, were on the road. I think that's the game plan for the Bengals tomorrow, is to get some plays early, get some type of lead, and then turn the game over to Joe Mixon.
Talking with Mike Petralia. He covers the Bengals for CLNS Media, and he's also got the Jungle Roar podcast there for the Bengals. Now, you mentioned a name there, which I think, you know, we're all caught up in the Ja'Marr Chase hype and obviously the connections that he had with LSU and Joe Burrow. And since it's such a great narrative to follow. But you talk Tyler Boyd. That wide receiver core is a very, in my opinion, a very deadly wide receiver core outside of just Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, there's no question about that. And yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit biased having seen them all year up close and see them make play after play after play, but they are playmakers down the field, and I believe it is the Bengals who have the most plays over 30 yards this year and the most touchdowns over 30 yards, and that's because of T. Higgins and because of Jamar, and even Tyler Boyd had a huge touchdown, the only touchdown in the win over the Broncos, the 15-10 victory, that really turned the tide for the Bengals. They were on the verge of falling to 7-7 in Denver and losing their third straight game. Tyler Boyd scores a 53-yard touchdown and, you know, burns Justin Simmons deep. And it was just a remarkable play, and it's kind of indicative of the kind of weapons they have beyond just Jamar Chase.
So I want to switch it up a little bit, talk about Zach Taylor, because he has a story history with Ryan Tannehill, being there with Miami Dolphins, yeah, quarterback coach, offensive coordinator. I saw a quote from him. It might have been earlier this week, later last week. I can't remember exactly what time frame it was. But the quote was, I know Ryan Tannehill, I'm paraphrasing it, I know Ryan Tannehill pretty well. They have the right guy down there doing that job. I feel like there's being that close to Ryan Tannehill, it's got to be some sort of benefit to know exactly what he does tremendous, but also what he does not do tremendous.
I think, and certainly Zach Taylor was asked that, and he said that can work two ways. And he can certainly sense what I'm going to throw at him and why I'm going to throw it at him, when I'm going to throw it at him. And I think if you had to ask, if you pinned me down and asked me who has the advantage, it's probably Zach Taylor, because he's going to be able to scheme up things that Ryan Tannehill is going to have to decipher on a moment's notice during the game when the bullets are flying live. And Zach Taylor has time to prepare for a lot of different tendencies that he knows Ryan Tannehill is capable of. Ryan Tannehill, one thing I will say, Zach Taylor said, people underestimate how strong the guy's arm is. He can make any throw from any point in the pocket, and he can make any throw downfield that he needs to make. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. So I think that is Zach Taylor's way of saying, you know, our cornerbacks have to make sure that they finish out their defensive assignments on A.J. Brown and Julio Jones.
Now, you know, bringing it over to the Titans side, do you feel like when you look at the other side of the field with the Bengals defense, how Julio and A.J. Brown, they've been such standouts, obviously. Well, A.J. Brown's been such a standout here in Tennessee. Julio, I think people are still hoping the flashes turn more consistent. But this, how do you feel like this Bengals defense matches up against those wide receivers?
Very well. I think the Bengals secondary has shown that they are capable of defending anybody beyond 20 yards downfield and sticking with them. I thought they did, again, a very reasonable job on Zay Jones and DeSean Jackson. They allowed a couple of big plays, a couple of big third down conversions, which, by the way, is to me a concern about the Bengals defense getting off the field on third down. That is some area where I think you can attack the Bengals, get down to third and short or third and medium, like a third and five, third and six. The Bengals have a tendency to give up crossing patterns, which if anybody watched the Bengals-Raiders game last week, it was DeSean Jones, DeSean Jackson, Zay Jones, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro, they were all running crossing patterns. So what I would expect to see from Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans tomorrow is a lot of crossing patterns for A.J. Brown and Julio Jones.
Talking again with Mike Petrella. You can follow him on Twitter, at Trags, T-R-A-G-S. Mike, now you have this, I mean, today it got official, but I feel like everybody already knew it. Derrick Henry activated. It didn't seem like the cards were out that he was not going to play tomorrow. Where do you think this, being at practice and everything with the Bengals, where do you feel like you've seen this team kind of focus on their attempts? Has it been more worried over the run or more worried over the pass?
Oh, I think they're much more concerned about how Derrick Henry can take over a game and wear down the defense in the second half. I mean, the thing about Derrick, and you guys know this much better than I do, having watched him all season, the thing the Bengals are concerned about is Derrick Henry can wear down your will to tackle him when the Titans have a lead and they're running the ball effectively in the second half. Teams are sliding down a slippery slope when they get in that position against a guy like Derrick Henry. I saw it in Tom Brady's last playoff game in New England. I covered that game back in 2019. You'll recall how the Titans hung tough, but the Patriots were never able to pull away in that game. And, you know, a one-point lead felt like, which was the case in that second half, felt like a 10-point lead. And I think the Bengals are concerned about that same kind of scenario unfolding tomorrow, where the Titans keep it close. They have either they're within a score, like a field goal, or they have a field goal lead, and they just hand it to Derrick Henry, and the Bengals have no answer. I would expect the Bengals to perhaps use three defensive tackles tomorrow, try and really fill up as much of the space between the tackles as they can with big bodies, and then, you know, flood the edges with linebackers and edge rushers and whatnot, and just make sure that Derrick Henry is contained.
All right, Mike, I'm going to send you over now to Ray Dosky because he's got a question.
Hey, Mike, it's good to talk to you again, buddy. Thanks for coming on the
show.
Ray. Hey, I got a quick question for you. So last week, you guys, your offensive line did a great job going against Max Crosby and Joko. You guys, I think you put only, what, two sacks last week. Do you think, what are you expecting this to come around when they go against the Titans defense that have had three players that has over eight sacks? Are they expecting to have the same type of protection, or are they concerns? What are your thoughts on that?
That is a great point, because I can tell you Jeffrey Simmons is a number one on their concern. And this is a different defense than what they faced with the Raiders, because with Ngakoue and with obviously Max Crosby, as you mentioned, on the edges, the Bengals' tackles have been very good since their bye week, but the interior line is a concern for the Bengals. And if Joe Burrow intends on getting throwing the ball downfield, he better get rid of the ball fast, because I'm not so sure about the Bengals' ability in the middle of the line. Their center, Trey Hopkins, Quentin Spain, and Hakeem Adeniji, the guards on either side of Hopkins, their ability to contain Simmons in this game. That is a strength I think the Titans have coming in, and the Bengals are going to have some kind of answer for that.
Let me get you out of here with this question, Mike.
Yeah.
If you had to sum up the main weakness of what the Bengals are, something that you think the Titans are going to try to exploit, whether that be offensively, defensively, special teams even, what do you think that is?
I'm going to give you two areas. The one I just mentioned, the interior offensive line, the Titans and Vrabel are going to bring every kind of different pressure imaginable over the ball. That would be one area. And secondly, I think Ryan Tannehill is going to try and attack the Bengals with crossing patterns. And I think he may even, you know, who knows, he may even get Derrick Henry or one of the stable of very talented backs behind Henry, Deontay Foreman, obviously, or Dontrell Hilliard. Hilliard could be a wild card in this in terms of getting them ball. Smaller type of back, but big and strong, obviously, low center of gravity. I'd look for that kind of attack from the Titans offense in terms of crossing patterns over the middle. It's something the Bengals have had trouble with all year long.
Well, Mike, I know you're in town, so I hope you brought your long johns and ready for a cold game, and I look forward to meeting you up there in the press box, buddy.
I look forward to it, guys. It should be. I'm looking forward to an entertaining game. Let's put it that way.
Let's hope it is. That was Mike Petralia. Thanks so much for joining in with us, my man. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter, @Trags. Like I said, Mike, we'll see you tomorrow.
You got it, guys. See you then.
Good stuff over there from the